Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the Lord and Creator and Maintainer of all things that are created, all that exist. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-ameen. And may Allah raise the rank of His honest and trustworthy messenger, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and likewise that of his family members and companions, all of them in entirety. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us and we thank Him and we turn to Him in worship alone. He has blessed us to come together here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal, on Mirath Radio as well, on this evening preceding the fifth day of Muharram in the year 1437. To once again study from the words of one of the best scholars of this era, Al-Shaykh Al-Allama, Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have an abundance of mercy upon him in his explanation of this beautiful surah, Surah Al-Hujurat. And in our first two sessions from this series, sessions 1 and 2, we covered the first verse of Surah Al-Hujurat. And now we will continue the second and third verses, insha'Allah Ta'ala. And now we seek Allah's aid and assistance in doing so. We begin on page 16 of the printed tafsir, that which is a transcription of his audio lectures. And he said, أَمَّا الْأَدَبُ الثَّانِي, as for the second mannerism. And the first mannerism was what? Not putting yourself in front of Allah and His Messenger. Not putting your opinions, not putting your ideas, not putting conjecture or personal views in front of Allah's ruling, in front of the rulings that come from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now the second mannerism that we learn from this tremendous surah is what the Shaykh now says, فَفِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, then it is found in the statements of Allah the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. O you who have believed, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet. وَلَا تَجَهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ, and do not raise your voice or speak out with him, كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضِ, as you speak out at each other. أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, lest your deeds become null and void whilst you don't even detect that. That's the second verse. الْآيَةُ الْأُولَى, the first verse, فِيهَا النَّهْيُ عَنَ التَّقَدُّمِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The first verse contained a prohibition of putting oneself forward or putting anything in front of Allah and His Messenger, fi ayyi shay, in any matter, in any affair. Sawa'an min al-aqwali, whether that was with statements, aw al-af'ali, aw ghayriha, or with actions or anything else. Amma hadhihi al-ayatu, as for this verse, fahiya fi raf'i as-sawti, this verse is specifically about what? Raising one's voice. Wa in lam yakun hunaka taqaddumun fil ahkami, even if it's not with a person putting something forward in front of the rulings of Allah, min tahleel, like declaring things to be halal, which Allah had not declared to be halal, min tahleelin, or declaring things to be haram as well, that Allah Ta'ala had not declared haram, aw ijabin, or claiming that certain things are wajib, obligations on people that Allah did not make as obligations. All of that is putting something in front of Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ, Allah the Mighty and Majestic says, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet. فَإِذَا خَاطَبَكَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, so if the Prophet addresses you, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, bi sawtin, with a certain level of voice, فَخْفِضْ صَوْتَكَ عَنْ صَوْتِهِ. Then when you speak to him, you speak with a voice that is lesser in volume, lower. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ صَوْتَهُ, and if he raises his voice, talking to you, فَرْفَعْ صَوْتَكَ, then you can raise your voice. لَكِنْ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ دُونَ صَوْتِ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. However, it's a must that when you raise your voice, you don't raise it above his level. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ, and this is why Allah Ta'ala has said, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِي. Do not raise your voices over the voice of the Prophet. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. And do not speak unto him as you speak unto each other, with the same kinds of mannerisms. يعني, this means, لَا تُنَادُونَهُ بِصَوْتٍ مُرْتَفِعٍ, that you do not call upon him with a loud voice. كَمَا يُنَادِي بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, as you each call upon each other, saying, hey, so-and-so, and you call each other out like that. بَلْ يَكُونُ جَهْرًا بِأَدَبٍ وَتَشْرِيفٍ وَتَعْظِيمٍ. Rather, it's audible, with manners, with respect for his status. يَلِيقُ بِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That which is befitting to him, which he deserves. May Allah raise his rank and that of his family, and grant him and all of them peace. وَهَذَا كَقَوْلِهِ. And this is similar to his statement, meaning the statement of Allah, لَا تَجَعَلُوا دُعَاءَ الرَّسُولِ بَيْنَكُمْ كَدُعَاءِ بَعْضِكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not make the way you call out the messenger amongst you like how you call out each other. That's from Surah An-Nur, the 63rd verse. يعني إذا دعاكم لشيء, if he calls you to something, the meaning of that is if he calls you, meaning requesting you for something, فلا تجعلوا دعاءه, don't make his request or his call كدعاء بعضكم لبعض, the way you call out each other. And the meaning of that is, listen, إِن شِئْتُمْ أَجَبْتُمْ وَإِن شِئْتُمْ فَلَا تُجِيبُ, that you respond maybe, or maybe you don't respond. Meaning when someone calls you and seeks your assistance or asks for something, you have the choice to offer assistance or not. Don't make the way you deal with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that. It's an obligation upon you to respond to him. بَلْ يَجِبُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْإِجَابَةِ. You are required to respond, meaning to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كما قال تعالى, as Allah the Most High has said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. O you who have believed, answer, respond to the call, or respond to Allah and to His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. From Surah Al-Anfal, the 24th verse. وَهُنَا قَالَ, and here in this place he has said, وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. And do not call out one another, do not call him out as you call one another out. كَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا, similarly, as well, لَا تُنَادُونَهُ بِمَا تَتَنَادَوْنَ بِهِ. Do not call him out as you call each other out. فَلَا تَقُولُونَ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ, with the wording. Don't say to him, O Muhammad. Rather, لَكِنْ قُولُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Say, O Messenger of Allah. Say, يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ, O Prophet of Allah. وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ, and things that are similar to these phrases, meaning phrases of respect when calling him out. أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That your deeds may become invalid, may be wiped out, or may sink down, meaning become unacceptable, and you don't even sense it, meaning whilst you don't even detect that. يعني, and that means, كَرَاهَةَ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Don't do these things, because it is hated that what? That your deeds would become null and void. وَالْمَعْنَى, and the meaning then is, إِنَّمَا نَهَيْنَاكُمْ. We have only forbidden you, عَنْ رَفْعِ الصَّوْتِ, from raising your voice, فَوْقَ صَوْتِهِ, above his voice, وَعَنَ الْجَهْرِ لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ, and in speaking openly to him, كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ, as you speak to one another in the same mannerism, كَرَاهَةَ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ, in that Allah hates that your deeds become null and void. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, whilst you don't even sense it. فَفِي هَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الَّذِي يَرْفَعُ سَوْتَهُ فَوْقَ سَوْتِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, in this there is evidence that shows the one who raises his voice above the voice of the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. أَوْ يَجْهَرُ لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ, or he calls him out, كَجَهْرِهِ لِبَعْضِ النَّاسِ, as he calls out other people, the same mannerism. قَدْ يَحْبَطُ عَمَلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُ, his deeds could be wiped out, null and void, without him even detecting it. لِأَنَّ هَذَا قَدْ يَجَعَلُ فِي قَلْبِ الْمَرْءِ إِسْتِهَانَةً بِالرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ, because this approach could cause belittlement or disrespect to manifest in the heart of a person. For who? For the messenger. May Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them all peace. وَالْإِسْتِهَانَةُ بِالرَّسُولِ, looking down on or neglecting the right of or disrespecting the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, may Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them all peace. Riddatun anil Islam, that is apostasy that takes a person outside of Islam. Tujibu hubut al-amal, it necessitates or it comes along with, it requires that his actions become null and void, be lost. وَلَمَّا نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةُ, and so when this verse was revealed, كَانَ ثَابِتُ بْنُ قَيْسٍ بْنِ شَمَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, ثابت ابن قيس ابن شماس, he's Ansari from the people of paradise, as you'll see in the story here. May Allah be pleased with him. He was جَهُرِيَ السَّوْتِ, he was a person who was very loud with his voice, had a very heavy voice. And as the Shaykh says, وَكَانَ مِنْ خُطَبَاءِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ, he was from the appointed speakers of the Prophet. May Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them all peace. فَلَمَّا نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةُ, when this verse was revealed, somebody with a broadcasting type of voice, heavy, loud voice, he was known for that and he was appointed to be a speaker. When this verse was revealed, what? تَغَيَّبَ فِي بَيْتِهِ, he stayed in his house and didn't come out. He was lost. The people hadn't seen him in a while. He was in his house. وَصَارَ لَا يَحْضُرُ مَجَالِسَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and it became that he did not attend sittings of the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فَافْتَقَدَهُ الرَّسُولُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so the messenger missed him. وَسَأَلَ عَنْهُ, and he asked about him. فَأَخْبَرُوهُ, so they told him, أَنَّهُ فِي بَيْتِهِ مُنْذُ نَزَلَتِ الْآيَةِ, that he's in his house, he's been in his house ever since that verse was revealed. فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولًا, and so the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a messenger to him. يَسْأَلُهُ, to ask him. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a messenger to him to ask him. In one narration in Sahih Muslim, the messenger was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ, and he responded, and he said that Allah the Most High says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ, do not raise your voice over the voice of the Prophet. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ, and do not call him out, كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ, as you call out one another. أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, fearing that your deeds may become null and void whilst you don't even sense it. وَإِنَّهُ قَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ, and he thought, he considered that his actions have become null and void. وَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, and that he's from the people of the hellfire. فَدَعَاهُ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَحَضَرُ, so the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم called him, and he came. وَأَخْبَرَهُ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, أنه من أهل الجنة. He told him that he's from the people of paradise. وقال أما ترضى أن تعيش حميدا وتقتل شهيدا وتدخل الجنة. Would you not be pleased that you live a happy life and that you die as a martyr and that you enter paradise? قال بلى رضيت. He said, of course, I'm happy with that. فقتل رضي الله عنه شهيدا في وقعة اليمامة. And he was killed, may Allah be pleased with him, as a martyr in the battle of اليمامة. وعاش حميدا. And he had lived a good life. وسيدخل الجنة بشهادة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. And he will enter paradise by the testimony, by the news already given by the messenger. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. ولذلك كان ثابت رضي الله عنه. And thus ثابت, may Allah be pleased with him, من من يشهد له بأنه من أهل الجنة بعينه. He's from the people that they are مبشرون. They've been given glad tidings of paradise in their lifetime. So we testify to them being from the people of paradise. لأن كل إنسان يشهد له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because every person that the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, testified for, بأنه في الجنة, that he's in paradise. فهو في الجنة, then he is in paradise, in reality. وكل إنسان يشهد له بأنه في النار فهو في النار. And every person that he testified against, that he's in the fire, then he is in the fire. وأما من لم يشهد له الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. As for anyone who the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, did not say anything about, define his place in the hereafter. فنشهد له بالعموم. Then we say about him based on generalities. نقول كل مؤمن في الجنة. Every believer is in paradise. وكل كافر في النار. And every disbeliever is in the fire. ولا نشهد لشخص معين بأنه من أهل النار أو من أهل الجنة. And we don't testify for anyone specifically that he's from the people of the fire or from the people of paradise. إلا من شهد له الله تعالى, except for the one whom Allah has testified in favor of, ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, or his messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. To rewind a bit, we have a narration here that is amazing. We have this beloved and dear companion in Thabit ibn Qais al-Ansari. And the story that you have heard, the majority of it is all authentic. However, the statement that is attributed to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا تَرْضَى أَن تَعِيشَ حَمِيدًا wa تقتل شهيدا وتدخل الجنة, that is not authentic from the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, what wasn't mentioned here is what is in Bukhari and Muslim. In Bukhari and Muslim, in this story, the story of Thabit is in Bukhari and Muslim in a clearly authentic narration with many different chains. And it mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many of those versions, that he said, tell him that he is not from the people of the hellfire. بَلْ إِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. But verily he is from the people of paradise. So from this it is absolutely true that Thabit is from those who have been promised paradise. Right? However, the statement that is attributed here, would you not be pleased to live a happy life, die as a martyr and go to paradise? That's not authentic from the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's been collected by Imam al-Hakim in his Mustadrak. And al-Mustadrak is a book of authentic narrations, but it's of lesser quality than Bukhari and Muslim, and thus you don't hear it being mentioned like al-Bukhari and Muslim. So when a narration is found in the Mustadrak of al-Hakim, the Mustadrak aslan is a later scholar. He was Abu Abdullah al-Hakim, referred to as al-Hakim, the lesser of the two Hakims. The smaller Hakim or the younger Hakim. He gathered a book where he said he's going to grab the narrations that were supposed to have been in Bukhari and Muslim. But Bukhari and Muslim missed them. So that's the name of the book. Mustadrak means like patching up something. So his goal was to patch up the two sahihs and add on a hadith that Bukhari and Muslim should have put in their books. However, in his zeal to do so, he overlooked many defects that did not pass the test with Bukhari and Muslim. And so he would put a hadith like this one in his book, which do not qualify to the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim. And he would say, Sahihun ala sharti al-shaykhain, like he said about this hadith. This is authentic according to the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim. However, the scholars have said that that's not always the case. That he wasn't as stringent, he wasn't as precise as Bukhari and Muslim. And many times he would assume that a narration was on there according to their conditions, it should have been in their books, yet he was mistaken. So a scholar came after him, a highly qualified scholar of hadith and the Islamic sciences, and checked his book and made comments about some of the mistakes. And that was Al-Imam al-Dhahabi. Right, he died in the year 748. So Imam al-Dhahabi came along and he did a talkhis where he summarized all of the problems that are with the book of Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim died in 405. Al-Dhahabi came along in 748. So we're talking 3 centuries later. Then Al-Dhahabi didn't catch everything. And you would find scholars who came later, like Ibn Hajar, like As-Sakhawi, like Al-Iraqi, other great hadith scholars would find problems with the Mustadrak, a hadith in the Mustadrak that Al-Dhahabi didn't catch, and they would add on commentary, but those were scattered comments here and there all over the place, not in one focused book. And then in this era, we witnessed scholars of hadith upon the way of those great imams. And someone came in this century that we've lived in this era that we've lived in, a very high caliber scholar of hadith, specifically hidden defects. And he came behind Al-Dhahabi, and he followed up on the things that Al-Dhahabi left. And he called that book, Tatabbu' Awham al-Hakim, Allati Sakata Anha al-Dhahabi. Following up on all of the mistakes of Al-Imam al-Hakim, that Al-Dhahabi was silent about. So now we've got a third layer of protection for the hadith that have come through Al-Imam al-Hakim. Who's this great imam of this modern time? Anyone know? Sheikh bin Baz is an imam of this era, but it's not him. Sheikh al-Albani, an imam of this era, but it's not him. Sheikh Muqbal ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i is an imam of this era, and it's him. Barakallahu feekum. Now, Sheikh Muqbal ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i of al-Yemen. He's the one with this book. It's called Tatabbu' Awham al-Hakim. Right? And so whenever you hear the hadith is found in the book of al-Hakim, and al-Hakim said it's authentic, and you fear there may be something wrong with the hadith, you go to this book and you check, did this scholar, Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, did he say anything about the narration? And if you were to return to this book, in this case, you will find that Sheikh Muqbil said this hadith is mursal. It has a break in the chain. Ismail ibn Muhammad ibn Thabit narrates it from his father, who narrates it from Thabit ibn Qais. The father of Ismail, Muhammad ibn Thabit, has no suhbah. He is not a companion. So he could not have seen this story that happened between Thabit and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said in his book, Tahdhib al-Tahdhib, لَيْسَ لَهُ سُحْبَ وَلَا سَمَاعٍ. He had no companionship nor any hearing of any hadith from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means the hadith is a tabi'i, narrating an event with speech from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is called mursal, a hadith which is a broken chain. And then if you wanted to follow up further, you will find further research by another amazing scholar of hadith in this era, and that is Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani, who studied the hadith and he singled it out with a longer study, longer than the brief commentary by Sheikh Muqbil, in his footnotes to the Mustadrak, or his notes to the Mustadrak called Tatabbu' Awham al-Hakim. Sheikh al-Albani has a silsila, a hadith al-da'ifa, silsilatul ahadith al-da'ifa. And way into the book, he studies the ahadith one by one and clarifies all the defects with the hadith. one after the next, number 6,398. That hadith was studied. And Shaykh Al-Albani actually stretched out, as they say, and mentioned all kinds of defects with the chain. Not only just this one point of a break in the chain, but unqualified or unattested for narrators. Other breaks in the chain and ibtirab, confusing ways that the hadith has been narrated without a clear murajjih, without a clear correct way of narrating the hadith. So he said the hadith needs to be discarded. The hadith needs to be considered weak and discarded. So then you might say, well, don't you wish, the wording here is, don't you wish to live a happy life and then die as a shaheed? History testifies for this. Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas, right after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who popped up and claimed prophethood? Musaylima al-Kadhab. And some of the tribes who weren't firm in Islam, and some of the munafiqun, they believed him. He claimed he had an agreement with Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he would continue on as a prophet after his death. He claimed this, and he had followers who believed him in the thousands. Right? So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, one of the many people he fought against, aside from those who withheld the zakat and those who left Islam upon clarity, and those who are with Musaylima. And these were called Hurub al-Ridda, all of this, the battles against the apostates. From the battles against the apostates is Ma'rikat al-Yamama, the battle of Yamama, which took place in the year 11. Right after the death of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, under the leadership of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And Thabit ibn Qais istushhida fil Yamam, and he died in Yamam. Hundreds, it's been said 1,200 of the Sahaba died in that battle against Musaylim to kill one false claimant to prophethood. Wallahi, 1,200 people, most of them, I can't say 1,200 companions, 1,200 men, and the vast majority of those 1,200 would be companions. From their Qurra', from their reciters, memorizers of the whole Qur'an, and from them were kibar, elders and senior companions that passed away, that perished in that battle. Shuhada, martyrs, you know, battling. Look at the stance of the Muslims in the very first era against fake claimants to prophethood. War, right? The deen of Allah Ta'ala is not to be played with, and you claim you have revelation from Allah and you are a liar. So yes, the Muslim state, with its military, will wage war on people who lie on Allah, even though that's unacceptable in today's world sphere, in today's political arena and all of that. They would call this what? Like crusades and religious wars, and we don't want any more of that. However, the deen, the religion that has come from Allah Ta'ala is to be protected. I'm not calling anyone to fight and to kill someone who claims to be who claims to be a prophet. What I'm saying is, in the Islamic military system, under a legitimate leader, this is one of the concerns that are looked at, and this is one of the issues that are dealt with by the military of the Muslims. False claimants to prophethood. Very important and serious matter. Naam. Naam. Musaylima was destroyed. La'anahullah. May Allah Ta'ala curse him. So you might say, well, history sort of supports that he lived a good life and he died as a shaheed right after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in al-Yamama. Subhanallah. We say no, the narration needs to be authentic by a chain, not authentic by a historical event that happened to be in coincidence with what he had said or what it was alleged that he said. فَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ In this verse, al-Karim, this noble verse, بَيَانُ تَعْظِيمِ الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم is a clarification about how the messenger is to be respected or honored. May Allah raise his rank and that of his family and companions and grant them all peace. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَجْهَرَ لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ And that it's not permissible for a person to call him out or to speak loudly with him. كَجَهْرِهِ لِسَائِرِ النَّاسِ Like how he speaks with the rest of the people. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ لَهُ And it's not permissible for him. أن يرفع صوته على صوت الرسول صلى الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. And it's also not permissible for him to raise his voice over the voice of the messenger. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. ولما نزلت هذه الآية. And in my printing it says ولما نزلت. There's a lamb missing. هذه الآية. When this verse came down, تأدب الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. The companions became more observant of manners. بذلك, with regards to these orders, حتى كان بعضهم, so much so that even some of them يكلمه مسارة لا يفهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يقول من إسراره. They would speak with such a soft voice, with such a low voice, that the messenger would not even understand what they were saying from the quietness of their voice. حتى يستثبته مرة أخرى, until he would ask him to say it again a second time. وفي هذه الآية, and in this verse, دليل, there's evidence, على أن كل من استهان بأمر الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, that each and every person who disgraces or disrespects anything about the affair of the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فَإِنَّ عَمَلَهُ حَابِطٌ, that his actions are null and void. لِأَنَّ الْإِسْتِهَانَةَ بِالرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that is, because looking down upon or thinking lightly of or disrespecting the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. Ridda. It is a form of apostasy. What is istihza'u bihi ridda. And mockery of him as well is ridda. It is apostasy. كما قال الله تعالى في المنافقين. As Allah the Most High has said about the hypocrites, الذين كانوا يستهزئون برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Those who are mocking the messenger of Allah, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. And if you were to ask them, then surely they would say, we were just talking loosely and playing. That's from Surah At-Tawbah, the 65th verse. وَكَانُوا يَقُولُونَ, and what they were saying was, مَا رَأَيْنَا مِثْلَ قُرَّائِنَا هَؤُلَاءِ. We haven't seen these reciters, called the Sahaba reciters, as a form of disrespect. يَعْنُونَ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَصْحَابَهُ. And they were intending the messenger and his companions. أَرْغَبَ بُطُونَ. Haven't seen reciters like this with big guts, big bellies. يعني أوسع, larger and wider bellies. وَلَا أَجْبَنَ عِنْدَ اللِّقَاءِ. And no people have we seen more cowardly at the time of battle. وَلَا أَكْذَبَ أَلْسُنَا. No people have we seen that are more lying with their tongues. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. And so then Allah sent down this verse. And with these descriptions, you know, these are not the descriptions of our beloved companions. And they are merely concocted ideas projected upon them from people who have filth in their chests. So Allah sent down this verse. وَلَمَّا سَأَلَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And so when the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, asked them about that, عَنْ ذَلِكَ قَالُوا, they said, إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. They said, we were just speaking loosely and playing, meaning they weren't serious. يعني نتكلم بكلام لا نريده. We're saying words that we really don't intend. ولكن لنقطع به عنا عناء الطريق. But we only do that in order to pass time on the journey, to make the distance shorter. فأنزل الله هذه الآية. And so Allah sent down this verse. قل أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون. Say, is it Allah and his signs, his ayat, and his messenger that you have been mocking? لا تعتذروا. Offer no عذر. Offer no excuse at all. قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. You have disbelieved after your faith. And again, that surah, At-Tawbah. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ صَحِيحُ أَنَّ مَنْ سَبَّ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And this, based on this, what is correct, what is the correct position on the issue of anyone who insults, he says a word of insult about the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. كَانَ كَافِرًا مُرْتَدًّا. That he is a disbeliever who has apostated out of Islam. فَإِنْ تَابَ. Listen to this very carefully to know the right of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a position of some of the scholars, not all of them. فَإِنْ تَابَ قَبِلْنَا تَوْبَتَهُ. If he repents from his ill speech of the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, we accept his tawbah, meaning we accept the tawbah from one angle. لَكِنَّنَا لَا نَرْفَعُ عَنْهُ الْقَتَلُ. However, we do not excuse him from the death penalty. What happens here? We say, we hope Allah accepts your tawbah, and we're going to pray over you, and we're going to bear you as our brother. We hope that the tawbah is complete and acceptable to Allah. But we, check it out, why? We aren't the messenger so as to forgive you. I can forgive you if you insult me. I have the right, I own that right. If you insult my brother who's alive, I can try to convince him to forgive you, but he owns that right. I can't forgive you on his behalf. If you slander a Muslim, I can't come and say, I forgive you for slandering that other Muslim. You have to approach the one that you wronged and seek from him the forgiveness. And if he forgives you, then your tawbah can be fulfilled. But the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as some of the ulama say, then we are not allowed to forgive on his behalf. We are not allowed to give up his right and say, we forgive you on behalf of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. بَلْ نَقْتُلُهُ أَخْذًا بِحَقِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, we put him to death, meaning through a court case in the Muslim court system under a legitimate Islamic government, he is to face the death penalty for violating the right of the Messenger of Allah. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَإِذَا قَتَلْنَاهُ. One second, Isa. And once we have put him to death through that process, بَعْدَ تَوْبَتِهِ النُّسُوحِ الصَّادِقَ. After he has repented with honest, earnest repentance, صَلَّيْنَا عَلَيْهِ. We pray over him, كَسَائِلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الَّذِينَ يَتُوبُونَ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ أَوْ مِنَ الْمَعَاصِ. Like the rest of the Muslims who would die after having repented from disbelief or from acts of disobedience. Isa, you have a concern. Oh, they were saying, these were hypocrites. And generally the hypocrites didn't have big bellies. Rather, when you look at them, their bodies were pleasing. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجِسَامُهُمْ. And if you were to look at them, their bodies would please you. They would be fit and good-looking people. This is a general description of the munafiqeen. So they were ridiculing the Sahaba. They were saying the Sahaba have fat bellies. And the Sahaba have what? They're cowards when it comes to the battle. And the Sahaba, they are the ones who lie. This is what they were saying. And I mentioned to you, these descriptions are the descriptions of hypocrites, not the descriptions of an honest person who looks at the condition of the Sahaba and sees them for what they are. Rather, these descriptions are from the filth of hypocrisy. Right? Then when accountability comes, they say, no, we didn't mean that. We were joking. We were jesting. We were only passing time on a journey, just saying things that we didn't mean. For that, Allah Ta'ala revealed their takfir. They had no excuse to offer, and Allah Ta'ala announced, along with their takfir, لا تعتذروا. Don't even try to offer an excuse. Right? You have disbelief after your Iman, Samson.
So the people who are not Muslim, you can't take into a Muslim court, right? They personally
the in an Islamic land where the rule of the land is Islam, then no one may manifest insults or disgraceful behavior or lies upon the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And depending on the level of their disrespect and their animosity and aggression for the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, or any messenger, not specific to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they are taken to court for sure. And it's well known in modern times that you have a passport and a visa when you go into any country. These have meanings in today's world. The passport, so you know, the passport is a booklet issued by your country, which is a request on behalf of either the Secretary of State or some high official to allow you to pass to any country that you seek passage through or stay in. The visa that they stamp in there is the specific permission granted by that country to let you in. Now, under that agreement, you are required to live by the laws of who stamps you in. So when you go to Italy, you acknowledge the obligation to follow the laws of Italy. And you don't say, I'm an American, I have my own rules. Right? This is international travel in today's world. So when you come into the Muslim lands, under this system, when you come into Saudi Arabia, one of the things they warn you about on the airplane when you're coming in is what? Drug traffickers will be killed. You bring drugs into this country, don't call the embassy. Don't call the American embassy to save you, because it's not going to happen, right? You are subject to the laws of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So when, as you come in, you are warned about that, and it's fair warning. You don't want to come in under these laws, you don't have to. No one is forcing you. It's a free world. Go where you like. If you're going to Saudi Arabia, you're doing so by choice. If you wish to live there, then you have to live under the laws. Women are required to cover, even when they're not Muslims, and so on. Shops are required to shut down for the Salat times, even if they don't want to pray, even if they say we're Christians and we don't pray. Shops shut down or they're fined, and so on. So you enter an agreement. You know, you're a dhimmi. You're classically called a dhimmi. You're a non-Muslim under Islamic rule, and you could only come into that country or under that authority by your own voluntary agreement. People don't know about the system of passports and visas and what it really means, but this is what it boils down to. That your country is asking permission for you to go into that country, of course, under their laws, and they grant you permission with the visa. And then you enter under that agreement that you have requested permission to enter, honoring their laws in any country, and the visa has been given to you on that basis. That you have requested either passage or a stay in that country, and an agreement along with that that you will follow the laws of that land. So then it's fair. A person cannot say, well, I don't agree with the laws, and it's unfair. You have a right not to agree with the laws. You don't have to come and put yourself under those laws. But if you do, you are responsible and you will be held accountable to the extent of those laws. The question is, how do you implement, don't raise your voice over the voice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? When the Shaykh, he mentioned to us the manners when he was alive, how the Sahaba would deal with him. But now, is there anything from this ayah for us today? Don't raise your voice over the voice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some of the scholars mention that at the Prophet's masjid, you don't raise your voice. Some of the scholars mention that when the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being recited, when someone says, قال رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you lower your voice if you are talking and you listen, or you be quiet and you listen. As Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to, when His verses are being recited, that we are quiet and we listen. So similarly, the revelation of the Qur'an, similarly, the ruling that is associated with the listening to the recitation of the Qur'an, which is revelation, then revelation from the one who spoke with the Qur'an is coming to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and what he spoke was revelation. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak of his own accord, he only speaks from wahi, from revelation that's been revealed to him from the opening verses of Surah An-Najm. So then some of the scholars, they mention when someone says قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they are quoting the speech of the Messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, then you do not speak at that time. And as well, from the taqaddum is, when someone mentions to you a ruling, a law that has come from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you don't say, well, I think something else, in my opinion, and you mention something contradictory to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, more of an allegorical raising your voice above his voice, meaning with rulings and opinions. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. The question is that when a person speaks during Jumu'ah, is this the reason, this idea that we're talking about now, speaking above the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is this the reason why, or is this the same logic behind the person not having a Jummah that is accepted from him? And Allah Ta'ala knows best. Allah Ta'ala knows best. Why? Because a khutbah is not required to be entirely from the speech of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And yet, the same ruling applies to the khatib when he's quoting a hadith versus when he's speaking and admonishing his people with words that are not from the ayat, from the verses of the Qur'an, or from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The same level of attention and quiet is required from him in both cases. So I don't see that it's specifically because there is a hadith in the khutbah and that's what you have to be quiet for. Rather, the Jummah has its own rulings that in the Jummah khutbah, a person is not allowed to speak. He is not allowed to forbid an evil. He is not allowed to play with his fingers or pebbles on the ground. All of these things are so that he can hear the admonition. He can hear the reminder and he can take it to heart and he can practice it versus being busy with talking to someone or playing with his fingers in the rug or something like that. And Allah Ta'ala knows best.
Did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kill these munafiqun who said this about him and his companions?
Did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kill these munafiqun? What's narrated, and in the chain of what's narrated, there is some criticism. And I'm not fully aware of the extent of that criticism. But in the narration, it mentions that he turned away from them. As there are two orders and there were stages of how the Prophet ﷺ was to deal with the munafiqun, right? The munafiq whose nifaq came out and he spoke with it, then he was accountable. Yet there was siyasa shar'iyya. There was, you know, something the Messenger ﷺ had to observe as it related to those hypocrites who even spoke with or said things that were disbelief. And he said in one narration, when Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Shall I not kill him and strike his neck?" Because Umar saw open disbelief, open apostasy, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, "Da'ahu, leave him alone. There will come from his loins people who will come into Islam and go out of it." He mentioned from the Qadr al-Kawni that must take place, that he's to be left. Another occasion he said, "Da'ahu, leave him, so it won't be said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam kills his companions." That is a siyasa thing. That's a diplomatic type of leniency here. Not for the sake of the person because he doesn't deserve the death penalty, but because of the ripples, the effects that that's going to have on the people who would witness it, depending on their level. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in many occasions, from his wisdom, from his diplomacy, from his masterful skill as a leader of a nation, that he would at times refrain from establishing some good in order to prevent some evil that would come along with it. Like when he wanted to rebuild the Kaaba upon the foundations that Ibrahim built the Kaaba upon. He refrained because he feared, as he explained to Aisha radiallahu anha, that your people are, you know, just come out of Jahiliyyah, and I fear something from them. So he left it without fixing it. ثُمَّ أَثْنَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ. Then Allah, the Most High, praises those who lower their voices. عِنْدَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Around the Messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فقال, as he has said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Verily those who lower their voices around the Messenger of Allah, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. Such are those whom Allah has purified their hearts to have taqwa. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. They have forgiveness and a great reward. That's the third verse of Al-Hujurat. لَمَّا نَهَى عَنْ رَفْعِ الصَّوْتِ فَوْقَ صَوْتِهِ. Once Allah has forbidden the people to raise their voices over the voice of him, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعَنِ الْجَهْرِ لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ, and also calling upon him or raising their voices toward him in their speech, كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِنَا لِبَعْضٍ, like how we raise our voices towards each other, أَثْنَى عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ, then he praised those who lower their voices, عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, around the Messenger of Allah, يَخْفَضُونَهَا, they lower their voices, وَيَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِأَدَبٍ, and they speak with manners, فَلَا إِزْعَاجَ, so they do not annoy, وَلَا صَخْبَ, they don't cry out, وَلَا رَفْعَ صَوْت, nor do they raise their voices, لَكِنْ يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِأَدَبٍ وَغَضٍ, however, they speak with manners, and with a low voice. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High has said, أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى, such are those whom Allah has purified their hearts for taqwa. أعاد الإشارة, he repeated the pronoun أولئك, such are those, تعظيما لشأنهم, in order to show their excellence, or show the excellence of their status. وَرِفْعَةً لِمَنْزِلَتِهِمْ, and to raise their status. لِأَنَّ أُولَٰئِكَ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ الْإِشَارَةِ الدَّالِ عَلَى الْبُعْدِ, because the word أُولَٰئِكَ, such are those, it's from the pronouns used for those who are far away. وَذَٰلِكَ لِعُلُوِ مَنْزِلَتِهِمْ, and they are considered far away, meaning high up, because of their high rank and station. فَأَتَى بِاسْمِ الْإِشَارَةِ بَيَانًا لِرِفْعَةِ مَنْزِلَتِهِمْ وَعُلُوِّهَا, so Allah Ta'ala used this kind of pronoun here to show their high status and their loftiness. اِمْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, اِمْتَحَنَ literally means to put to trial. Allah has purified their hearts. قال العلماء, the scholars say, معناها, the meaning is, أخلصها للتقوى, he has purified, cleansed their hearts to have only تقوى. فكانت قلوبهم مملوءة بتقوى الله عز وجل, and thus as a result their hearts were full of consciousness of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَلِهَذَا تَأَدَّبُوا بِآدَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and thus they took on the manners that Allah Ta'ala had given them. أَلَّتِي وَجَّهَ لَهَا, those that they were directed to have. فَغَلْضُوا أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ الرَّسُولِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they lowered their voices around the Messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فَأَخْبَرَ عَنْ ثَوَابِهِمْ, so then Allah gave us information about their reward. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ, they have forgiveness, meaning they shall have as a reward forgiveness and a great reward. مَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, forgiveness from Allah for their sins. وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ, and a great reward. عَلَىٰ أَعْمَالِهِمُ الصَّالِحَةِ, based on their good deeds. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ إِشَارَةٌ, and in this verse there is an indication. إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الصَّلَاحَ صَلَاحُ الْقَلْبِ, that true righteousness is the righteousness of the heart. لِقَوْلِهِ, due to the statement of Allah, اِمْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى, Allah purified their hearts to have taqwa. وَكَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ, and just as the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said in the authentic hadith, At-taqwa ha-huna, taqwa, consciousness of Allah, fearing Allah and observing one's duty to Him, is here, hahuna, wa ashara ila sadrihi, and then he pointed to his chest, alladhi huwa mahallul qalbi, the chest that is the place where the heart lies. Thalatha marrat, he did that three times, saying that at-taqwa hahuna, piety is right here. At-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna. And that hadith was collected by al-Imam Muslim. وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ التَّقْوَى تَقْوَى الْقَلْبِ. And no doubt that real taqwa, real consciousness of Allah, fear of Him and piety to Him, is the taqwa found in the heart. أَمَّا تَقْوَى الْجَوَارِحِ. As for the piety that exists on the limbs, وَهِيَ إِصْلَاحُ ظَاهِرِ الْعَمَلِ. And that is correcting and purifying or making one's outward actions good. فَهَذَا يَقَعُ حَتَّى مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. And this is something that occurs even in the ranks of the hypocrites. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. And when you see them, you are impressed by their bodies. وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. And when they speak, you listen to their statements. لَكِنَّ الْكَلَامَ عَلَى تَقْوَى الْقَلْبِ. However, here the discussion is about the piety of the hearts. أَلَّتِي هِيَ بِهَا الصَّلَاحُ. Through it is the real righteousness. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. We ask Allah the Most High, أَنْ يَرْزُقَنَا ذَلِكَ. That He provides us with that. Ameen. وَبَعْضُ النَّاسِ يَفْعَلُ الْمَعَاصِي. And there are some people who do acts of disobedience. كَإِسْبَالِ الثَّوْبِ مَثَلًا. Like dragging the garment, for example. Meaning men who drag their garment, their lower garment on the ground. أَوْ حَلْقِ اللِّحْيَةِ. Or shaving the beard. أَوْ شُرْبِ الدُّخَانِ. Or someone who smokes cigarettes. وَتَنْهَاهُ. وَتُخَوِّفُهُ. And you forbid him and you cause him to be afraid. مِنْ عِقَابِ اللَّهِ. Of the punishment of Allah. فَيَقُولُ. And he says in response, أَتَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا. Piety is right here. Meaning he talks about his heart. كَأَنَّهُ يُزَكِّي نَفْسَهُ. As if he is claiming inner piety and purity for himself. وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ بِمَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. Whilst he is engaged in an act of disobedience to Allah. فَنَقُولُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ سَهُولَةٍ. So we say to him with every bit of ease, لَوْ كَانَ مَا هُنَا مُتَّقِيًا. If what was here was really pious, meaning in the chest, لَكَانَتِ الْجَوَارِحُ مُتَّقِيَةً. Then the limbs would also be pious. لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Because the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, يقول, he said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةِ. Nay, there is in the body a morsel of flesh for sure. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If it is upright, then the entire body will be upright. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. And if it is corrupt, then the entire body will be corrupt. With this, we'll close this session, the end of our third session in tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat from the great scholar Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen, asking Allah Ta'ala to have mercy on him and to reward him for what he has provided for us and left for us of his inheritance, the inheritance of knowledge. We ask him to make us people of true piety, piety of the hearts, true piety, people of true piety whose inner piety shows with beautiful, solid acts and statements of outward piety. هَذَا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.